He's going over and preach at Junior Church. Thank God for that. Take your Bible, please, to Philippians chapter 2. This morning I really hesitate to mention the weather and the catastrophic things that are going on in our world. It seems that these last couple of weeks, flooding in Texas and fires in the Northwest. I was reading an article September the 5th. There have been over 1,054,381 acres so far consumed by fire just in Montana. And that's a lot of acres. Amen. And it's still going, as you can tell. You woke up this morning and the sun coming up was red. And went to bed last night and the moon was red. That smoke is just a lot of people having a rough time breathing, and now everybody's starting to get a cough now. But anyway, these powerful hurricanes that are causing unheard of and destruction, millions of dollars already in destruction, and lives have been lost. And then also the earthquakes. Seemed like there are earthquakes all over the place, not lately. And Mexico had a big one, over 8 on a Richter scale. My question to you this morning, and this does not much have to do with the message, but could it be that God is trying to get our attention? I think He is. I think that a lot of people cried out to God for safety. But there's some really difficult times in this world. And if you come to Wednesday night Bible study, we've been speaking on Revelation, all these things I've talked about, how the destruction, devastation is going to happen. Always remember in a Revelation, there's always a shadow of that revelation coming. Just read again about how they're really trying to put chips in people now, you know, like call it the mark of the beast. You can call it whatever. My dog has a chip, so I knew that he's part of the mark. But anyway, they said, well, you don't have to have a security codes anymore. You can just you that goes off there, and they're talking about that. People with diabetes, they like that. You know, get in an ambulance, you have a problem. They hit that thing. It tells you your whole medical records right there. So this is an amazing thing. I know some people against it, some people for it. I don't know. I haven't changed my mind yet. I'm not ready to get a chip, amen. But anyway, you'd pray for America. God would certainly do something here. You know, and I know that this world is really in trouble, and the terrorism and all the problems going on in this world. It's just so chaotic. I remember when I was a little boy in Michigan on the farm, come to Sunday school and come to church, and everything was pretty calm, and nobody was shot that week, and nobody was robbed that week, and you left your keys in the tractor. Well, we didn't even have keys in tractors, we just had a tractor, amen. And well, it was better than just a horse, amen. But left all the doors open. If your neighbor was out of gas, they'd come over and take some gas out of your tank and leave a $5 bill or whatever, you know, just that's the way it was. So life has drastically changed. I think of these teenagers that sit and listen to me today. Your life has nothing like our lives, the peace and the tranquility. That we had for many years, the respects that we had in school, nobody uprised against this teacher, nobody, you know, it was pretty good, you know, didn't have to worry about, man, we brought our guns to school, I mean, that was a big deal, you know, a lot of people took shooting at school, and down the basement, they'd have marksmanship, and it was pretty powerful stuff, you know, today we've certainly tipped upside down. And so there is a shift in this world. There is a tremendous shadow of things to come that is coming. And we must understand those things. We've got to understand that God loves us. He's the same God that took care of Daniel. He'll take care of us. It's just that we have got to get to that place in our lives that we understand that. I'd like to speak to you this morning about a light in this wicked world that we live in. My prayer is that my life would shine so bright in such a way that God would be glorified. I pray that all the time. I said, dear God, give me passion. Give me the excitement of serving you. Dear God, light my life up that I may help others to see the light. Amen. And I pray that your light would shine bright as a dad, as a mom, as a wife, as a husband, as a son, as a daughter. That your family and your friends and those you work with, your boss, your fellow man and woman, that your life would live in such a, that your life would be so bright as you live in this profound darkness that people would be able to see the trail even in doom and gloom of this world. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul used the word shine as a light to illustrate a great biblical point. The point that we as believers have been given a great responsibility to spread the light in this dark and wicked world. That's our responsibility. People should see us and should say, that man, there's something about him. We came into the fishing camp last Sunday. Actually, it was Monday. And there's a couple of men that, you know, there's just something different about them, you know? Just something different about them. Sure enough, they were Christians. They're out of Sacramento, California. And they're just Christian men that love the Lord. And one guy, we just sat down, and one guy said, hey, do you mind if we say the blessing? Now, you got to remember, there's 30 people there. There's people that are certainly not Christian people. I'll just tell you that much. That man was bold. He just bold. He just said, hey, you mind if we have a word of prayer? And nobody said no. So he just prayed, amen. And so we did that every meal we sat down. We prayed, amen. So we're to be a light. And Brother Rudy and I were talking about it. And he says, you know, you never know what just that moment of prayer meant to some of those ungodly people that were there that could hear the light. And I thought, boy, isn't that the truth? We're supposed to be the light of the world. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul uses this word, shine as light, to illustrate a great biblical point, a point that we as believers have been given a great response to spread the light in a dark and wicked world. We mortals have always used light to be able to find things. I know the older I get, more I like light. I have a flashlight. If I lose something, I take a flashlight. I look around for the crazy thing, amen. It carries the idea with something that manifests or something reveals. If it's dark, you cannot figure out what you're looking for. You may feel for it. You may put your hand in something you don't want to put your hand in, amen. But in the dark, you can't see anything. But when you turn the light on, that manifests or that unveils some things you were looking for. Or the possibility to see what is out there. Christ, our greatest example, was called the light of the world. He was the light of the world. Therefore, being one of his children, a Christian man should so shine in his life that a person could not live with him a week without knowing the gospel. He's going to hear it. He's going to hear it. He wants to see the light. There's a lot of people out there in darkness. I'm kind of disappointed this morning. I'll tell you what. I invited four different people to come to our church. They said they'd come, and I don't see them here. But I'm out there. I want to spread the light. I want folks to know the light. If you were just one person a week, invite them to come, just maybe. Brother Hiles used to say, if you invite 10 people, one will come. So I needed to invite some more, amen. So I'll try all I can. Jesus Christ says that our conversation should be such that all who around us should clearly perceive who he is and whom he serves and whom he sees the image of Jesus Christ reflect in his daily actions. Years ago, and I know I've told this story again, but it's great to remind myself of it. There was a man that was in a hurry to get to him and another guy was in a hurry to get to a job, and they were riding the subway in New York, and that was during the time of the Depression, and this little boy was out there, and he had pencils in his hand. He'd say one pencil for five, two pencils for seven. And he was trying out there, and all of a sudden, these two guys came around the corner, And the one guy didn't see him, and he bumped him. And pencils all over the ground there. And he stopped and bent over and started picking up those pencils. And this little ragamuffin kid, street kid, he looked at him and looked at him. He couldn't believe that someone would be so nice. And all of a sudden, the guy's friend came back and said, "Jesus Christ, we're going to be late." And that little boy says, "You be Jesus? Saw, you be Jesus?" Yeah, that's what we're supposed to be like. That's what we're supposed to be like. We bump into somebody, and somebody says, "You be Jesus?" There's so much hatred and so much disarray and so much meanness out there that somebody's got to be the light. Somebody has got to turn the light on, amen. Somebody needs the help. These folks that are in darkness, their eyes are blinded from the Word of God, and sometimes that's the only way. I think there's a number of ways you can win people to Jesus Christ. I think number one, confrontational soul winning. I think that you walk right up to the man and say, "Hey, my name is Pastor Shear, and this is Jonah, and we just stopped by to say hi to you, and we're from the Heritage Baptist Church. Can I ask you a question? If you died today, would you go to heaven?" That's confrontational soul winning. That's when you come up, you talk to somebody about it. And then there's others. There's lifestyle evangelism. Yeah, and you just live that life in front of people, just constantly. I think that lifestyle evangelism is that you have told them, you've confronted them with it, but if they refuse it, you know, it's not time to punch them in the nose and you know, and kick them in the head and tell them they're going to burn and go to hell if they don't get. There's a lifestyle evangelism. We offer them the free gift of Jesus Christ. It's a gift. It's a gift, and that's a lifestyle evangelism. I think that a person, you can win people to Jesus Christ. Neighbors and friends, I've talked to my neighbors about Jesus many times, but also I should have my lawn mowed and should keep the water on, and I should have a clean house, and I should, you know, people would see that there is a difference in me, amen. I should not run on their grass, and I should not let my dog get over on their land and do some things that he shouldn't do over there, amen. Or if he does, I pick it up. Amen. The conversation should be such that all who are around us clearly perceive that I am his, that I'm Jesus Christ. First of all, light is used for guidance. Light is used for guidance. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 5, "The word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." A light is intended for guidance. Lights are intended for safety. You walk into a place you're not sure of, and you know, it's like the middle of the night. You have to get up, and your brain says, "Hey, I can make it to the bathroom," and the feet say, "Don't do that. That's going to hurt. You're going to run into something. Somebody's going to leave a Lego block there, or somebody's going to." That is the worst thing ever happened to me in my life, a Lego block. Thank God my kids don't have Lego blocks anymore. But anyway, but my dog has a bone. Light gives you guidance. Light enables you to negotiate. Light is for protection. We are to help. We to be the light. We're to help other people in this darkness. I talked to a man the other day, and he said, "This can't keep going on, can it?" And I was able to witness to him and tell him, "Yes, it can, and it's going to come. It's going to come." And Jesus said it, and Jesus does not lie. We are to hold forth them the word of life. And we should point sinners to the Savior. And when we're weary, we point people to one who would give them rest. Men sometimes read their Bible and fail to understand them. We should be ready to give an account, give the Word of God, to teach them, to help them, give them light in the Scriptures. Like Philip, who instructed and inquired the meaning of the Word of God, and the way of the salvation, the way of godliness. Philip said, "Listen, this is the way it ought to be." Secondly, light is used to warn. Lights are intended to serve as safety. They're intended to serve as caution, intended to serve as alert. The other day, coming up, we were coming out of helping Casey set up his camp, and all of a sudden I saw a red and blues flashing. And closer we got, here's a car that had flipped upside down. It was still upside down, you know. And there was all kinds of light. There was yellow lights from the amber lights from the wreckers. There was the red and blues of the highway patrolman, and red and blues of the county sheriff. And they're all there taking pictures and things going on. And there's a wrecker there with his amber lights on. Those lights are for caution. Lights serve an alert. Lights intended to throw light on serious danger. Think of lighthouses and airport lights and flashers on water towers. Many are years ago. Lighthouses were erected to keep people from the rocks and the shoals of danger getting close to land. Why? And warning of danger. When Marcia and I went to Barbados in the Caribbean, the story was told to us about a pirate named Sam Lord. And he was a notorious figure in the Barbados history. And he would hang lanterns on palm trees and necks of goats and cows to lure merchant ships onto what they called the Cobbler's Reef. and they get in there and get floundered. They couldn't get off it. And then he and his men would go out there and pick those boats clean. He put these false warnings and lights and ships by the dozen would go out and get hung up. And boy, there's easy picking then. You know, there's a lot of bad lights out there today. There's a lot of religious out there that do not believe the Word of God. That they're using it to trick people to give to their quote unquote their cause, and they live in $1 million homes and they have their own airplanes and you know they flaunt and they don't preach the gospel. They preach the Bible. Jesus, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said there's going to be folks are going to be itching ears. You know, they just want their ears scratched. You know, they want to come for a concert. They want to have smoke and fire and drums and bands. Some guy asked me the other day, he said, hey, preacher, did you go to the downpour? And I said, no. I said, that's not my kind of music. I said, you know what? When I got saved out of that. I don't want to go to rock and roll music. You know, I'll tell you what happened. I was up at the sheriff's office about 4 years ago, and one of the guys up there, he runs a security business, and he said, there's more drugs and more drinking at Downpour than there is a rock concert. So I suspect I won't keep my kids away from there. What's wrong with the old songs of the faith? They were born out of conviction, out of doctrine, out of hurt hearts. There's a lot of false lights out there. Oh man, false lights, unbelievable. Just like old Sam Lord, he put those false lights out there, and he would just trick them to get something for him. We know that there are many false lights, and we ought to be the right light that is needed in this world. The wrecker of Satan are always on board, tempting the ungodly to sin under the name of pleasure. Remember, it is the men and women of light that are put up the true light upon every dangerous rock and reef. And we are commanded to point out every sin, to tell them that where it will lead them to. Are careful with our children to raise them up in an admonition of the Lord. Teach them the doctrines of the Scriptures. Teach them what the Bible says about life. Teach them the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Teach them the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt, on and on. Teach them the salvation. Teach them the need for following the Lord and believers' baptism. Teach them to learn how to be faithful. Teach them to have character. It's a big deal. You parents that are raising these kids, it's a big deal. You train your children right. You say, but preach it all the other kids. Well, let all the other kids, that's where they are, that's where they are. But your responsibility someday, Daddy, you're going to stand before a holy God And you're going to answer for how you train your children. Your wife is the helpmeet. You are responsible to keep your family in check and stand before God someday because of it. That's why we should be very clear on how we ought to live for God, because the Bible says we are going to be called even for the blood of others. And we don't show our light to other people. You know, the Bible says if we don't warn, we don't warn the wicked, their blood will be upon our hands. We're to be a shining light in this world. I know there's one man said, the darker it is, the brighter the light. I was at camp years ago, and we went for a night walk with all the third, fourth, and fifth graders. And we put them out in the athletic field, and I wanted to show them something. And could somebody hit all the lights? Turn the lights off. You're not going to get afraid, right? Now I know who's messing with your iPads. Thank you very much. All right. And I walked over 100 yards, and I went like this. Can anybody see it? All right, turn the lights on. It's not very bright, is it? Was it bright when I turned it on? Yeah. Yeah. That's what God said. When it gets dark, He said, even the little flicker of light, Jackson, even the flicker of light can show up. It's the most incredible thing. Amen. You had one on here too. I saw it. Anyway. But that flicker of light, and He says, we are to be the light of the world. We're to shine forth that others may see us. Hey, we need to be like that lighthouse that blips, that light, so that He knows that there's danger. There's danger in that area. Be careful. There's rocks. A couple of years ago, we were out on the lake, and I had a pastor friend of mine from Calvary Baptist Church, Dan Dickerson, and his three boys and a couple of my boys in my boat. And all of a sudden, the winds came up terribly on Holder. I mean, it came up. There was probably about 5-foot waves, 6-foot waves, and it was devastating. I was scared to death. And I had a full bore. I was heading to get back to Bill and Aunt Lance, that first place he'd come off. And it was raining, and I couldn't see the light. I couldn't see anything. And before you know it, I thought I was heading towards that way, but I was going this way. What I was doing, I was riding a wave. I was surfing a wave with my boat. I got right about top of this swell. I just stayed on it. And I came within right there where Brother Andy is sitting to that rock wall. And I turned my boat with it. But then I saw the light. When you see the light, oh, that's a good feeling. I knew where I was headed, amen. I knew where I was headed. You know what, Christians? There's a lot of people out in this world. They're scared to death. There are people that everything they had is gone now in this great devastation we've seen in America. We see people that have had beautiful homes. All there is the stone chimney sticking up now. All their relics, all their antiques, all their family pictures, all gone. So which brings me to the third one. Light is used to cheer. A cheering influence. Light also has a very cheering influence. So have Christians. Many a night, after finishing my chores as a little boy on a farm, it was dark. It was the middle of the midwinter. I'd shut off all the lights in the barn and headed to the house, which is about a couple hundred yards away. And I'd come around that one big place, the granary that we had, and I could see the porch light. Oh, by the way, I was scared to death of dark. I knew the boogeyman was going to get me every time, amen. That was a cheering influence. And when I came around the garage, I saw the kitchen light on, and Mama in there We call her doing the turkey trot. She just back and forth, back and forth, getting dinner, supper ready. Amen. What a welcoming sight. Chores were done. Supper was ready. Warm house. To take off those heavy winter clothes. Oh, one of these days, my friend, we're going home. One of these days, we're going to see the porch light of heaven. One of these days, we're going to see the throne of God. Lights are intended to give hope. We're finally coming home. Lights are intended to give cheer. We're also, lights are there that we would see others. The light is on. Come on in. Sit a spell. Let's pray. A Christian ought to be a comforter. Jesus was a comforter. He always had kind words on his lips and sympathy in his heart. He carried sunshine wherever he went. He had the ability to keep happiness around him. Our prayer should be, gracious Spirit, dwell in me. I myself would gracious be, and with words that help and heal, would thy life in mine reveal. And with actions bold and meek, would for Christ my Savior speak. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And the light was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, the same who came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true life, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. P.P. Bliss wrote this magnificent song. It's called The Light of the World of Jesus. The whole world was lost in darkness of sin. The light of the world of Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding, and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. No need for sunlight in heaven above, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in that city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 47, For who hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the end of the earth. What a charge that we have from God to us and mankind. This is Acts chapter 26, verse 23. That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Jesus commanded us, don't you hide that candle under the bushel. You are the light. And here's an amazing thing. He says, you are not a light. But he said, you are the light. God has each of us here to shine for him, to shine his gospel for his kingdom, for his people. Dear disciple of Jesus Christ, never underestimate your value in the eyes of the Heavenly Father or the value and integral role in the kingdom's work. Don't ever say you're not important. You are the light of the world, and it's very emphasized in the Greek. This is spiritual. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul would answer that we are his workmanship. That word carries with the idea we are his masterpiece. He said you're his masterpiece. He says, you are part of His work of art. He says that we are His poems. You say, what in the world is that? Well, the Greek poeme created in Christ Jesus for good works. He said, you are His poem. You are His masterpiece. You are His poem to the world. You know, poems get people's attention sometimes. You think of them in different ways. He says, God says, you're my masterpiece, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are His workmanship, His masterpiece, His poem, poema, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has beforehand ordained that we should walk in them. Hey, you know what? If you just one person be light. We tried this one time. I wish I'd done it again. But we gave everybody a candle. And lit one candle. And then that person lit another candle, and those two people went and lit two more candles. Those people went and lit four more candles. And those eight went and lit 16 more candles, and on. And the whole church lit up. But this one candle was just sitting here. There wasn't much light, but boy, when everybody had a little candle going on, it was amazing. Hey, you know what could happen in Great Falls? If you invited one, if you invited one, if you invited one, 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 and you one, and on, if we just invite someone to church and say, hey, why don't you come to our church? Some old people talked to a guy the other day. He said, what kind of church you got? I said, old-fashioned church. It's old Baptist church. And I said, we use the old-fashioned songs, and we're just an old-fashioned group of people that love the Lord and want to serve God in a great way. He said, you know, I've been looking for a church like that. I said, well, come on, see him. I'm going back after him because I know where he works. And I was like, hey, buddy, you told me you're going to be here Sunday. I said, you know who my boss is? You tell him about that then. Amen. So I hope you be faithful. I hope you be the light of the world. I hope you just shine. This is a dark, dark world. Gloomy world. Gloomy, dark, damnable world. But I'm going to tell you something. God has set you to be a light. The light. You are the light. Don't ever consider yourself worthless. You are the light. Someone said, hey, who are you? Man, I'm the light. I'm the light. And smile. It'd be a good idea if you act like it too, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Help us to be the light that you sent for us. You have, even before this world started, you knew us. And you predestinate us to be your light. Dear God, I pray you'd help us. Help us go out there and find more lights. Help us, Lord, to show them where the light is. Lord, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to be on fire for you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to illuminate. Lord, that we would manifest what you've got for this world. Lord, you said you loved us. And Lord, you cared for us. Help us today. Heads about eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I sure like to know that today. There's never been a point in my time in my life I haven't personally invited Jesus Christ to be my Savior. My friend, I certainly pray for you. You're here today and say, preacher, there's a time in my life. Maybe it's Sunday school. Maybe it's church. Maybe it's at home with your mom or dad. Or maybe grandma, grandpa, or Aunt Anna. Or maybe at camp. And you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if you died today, you say, preacher, I know for 100% sure, according to God's Word, that I'd go to heaven. Would you lift your hand to me today and say, yeah, that's me. I've asked Jesus in my heart. God bless you. You're here today and say, preacher, I can't raise my hand. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you please pray for me today? Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be that light. I'm that light. That's what you said. I'm the light of the world. And you said, I make you that light. Lord, help us to be more like you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Going to ask everyone to stand. You're here today. And you're not sure you're saved. You're not sure you're on your way to heaven. But you'd like to know that. I'd like to invite you to come forward. I'll take you by the hand. If you're a lady, we've got ladies that will show you what the Word Bible says about how you can be sure you're saved. If you're a man, we'll show you as a man. And we want you to know Jesus is your Savior. greatest opportunity you ever do in your life. Why don't you come this time, please? I'm not sure I'm saved. Just don't know. I don't know. I want to be sure. Why don't you come? Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. There has not been a time in my life I personally invited Jesus Christ to be my Savior. You heard Dave say, preacher, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. That's down in the water and up out of the water. It's believer's baptism. You need to believe first. And then you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You heard Dave say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come? Why don't you be part of the family here? It's a great church. Why don't you come? I pray you'll be a light to the world. I pray that God will certainly send you forth into this crazy world that we live in. That we would shine brightly. That we have the at our work that people would see the deeds of living what you have. Heard one man said, you got something, I don't want you got. And I'm really having a difficult time. How do you get through this? I see all the difficulties you're going through. How do you do that? Well, you ask, I'll tell you. His name is Jesus Christ. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've asked Him to come into my heart. I've asked Him to work in my heart and my life. And I know that God knows my life better than anybody else does. The light goes on. You tell people about Jesus. I would right now that you make a determination in your heart and life. Says, I'm going to ask one person. I'm going to invite one person to church tonight or this week. I'm going to be there and invite folks to come and fellowship with us. It may be that just one little encouragement to them will change their whole heart and their whole life, their whole destiny. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you, Lord, you made us the light of this world. And Lord, I pray you'd help us as we go out to tell others about Jesus Christ. We'd be a blessing and help and encouragement. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for services today. Lord, I pray for Restful service at 2:30. Your brother Rick, as he preaches there. Be with our service tonight at 6 o'clock with our choir as they meet today. And Lord, I pray you to be a blessing and help and encouragement to others. And all God's people said, amen. You're dismissed.